I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Like a suplex to the cerebral cortex, it's time for another episode of Digital Soup, the show that lays the smackdown on the latest in technology and nerd entertainment. And now, the main event, a triple threat match.
Ooh.
Coming to the microphone, the only guy who was put in a figure four leg lock by a Cat 5 cable. Jason!
Woohoo! Yay!
Thank you, thank you. It is me. All right, entering the podcast now, the man who insists his father is Darth Vader, even though he looks more like Big Van Vader, it's Adam!
Yo! What it is?
All right. Now, that wasn't the smoothest transition here, but the final participant here, the only person still running a Cyrix processor, let's give a hand for Usually Dave!
Hey guys, what's up?
Woo! A little louder, my music is super loud, all right.
Yeah, I think you got a lot of distortion on your end today.
That's awesome.
Well, I wanted to do something a little bit to pump up our listeners here, get them going. And what better way than a bunch of sweaty men in spandex, right?
Ironically enough,
Dave's wearing the spandex.
I've never seen our downloads go backwards before.
Yeah. How are they taking episodes away from us?
Yeah, it's so strange. I shouldn't be able to do that, should
I?
I
don't get it. Hey, what do you guys know?
I know a lot of stuff. Quickly, real fast, before we get into anything, just because of the whole wrestling thing here, did you guys happen to see the Mayweather-McGregor fight?
No, but I called it. I called it.
Yeah. Well, everybody called it, basically.
Your mom didn't.
There was a very, very funny SNL last Friday night. They had one of their specials, you know, because it's the off season right now. And every once in a while, they do like a weekend update little special because of, you know, different things going on in the news and stuff. Well, they had somebody playing McGregor on there, and he was talking about how he's just going to kick Mayweather's butt, you know, just all over the place and stuff. And he's telling him how he's going to hit him with these hard punches and these hard kicks and stuff. And, you know, the one of the news commentators, he's like, there's no kicking. He's like, okay, so just a few kicks here and there then, you know. And like, no, there's no kicking in baseball.
In baseball.
Wow. In boxing. Hey, it started with a B.
You're right. There is no kicking in baseball.
Well, I have actually seen some kicks.
There's no kicking in baseball.
I've seen some kicks in baseball once in a while, you know?
Well, that was a very popular theory that people were speculating that this thing would go as it went, you know, where Mayweather just runs around and, you know, dodges him and he'll frustrate him. And McGregor would know that come that last round that he lost it on technicality. So he was just going to say, screw it, and kick Mayweather right in the head and knock him out and say, well, what do I got to lose except for a pile of money on his purse, you know? But
That's sort of like the Tyson ear bite, right? You just get so frustrated. You're just like, ah!
Just boom, drop him with a kick. And I don't know. Those kind of fights are always such a farce to me. I mean, when you think about it, you've got, you know, Mayweather, who's the absolute pro in this, even though I'm not a big fan of his.
He's 49-0.
Yeah, but I don't know. We won't get into that. I feel like he's kept that streak alive because he's really good at what he does, and what he does is run around, and he does not like to mix it up and actually fight. Whatever. He plays the game. He knows the rules. He scores a lot of points, and he wins. You can't deny that. That being said, you're taking a guy like McGregor who, he's not a, you know, he fights, but he's a UFC guy. He's used to using all those tools at his disposal, and you're basically telling him you can do only one, you know, move out of your 500 that you normally use. And that's why, to me, it's like, this is kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's, well, Mayweather is, like him or hate him, he's experienced in there. And he had a game plan going in, and it worked because McGregor was in his house.
That's
his area. See, now, for him to go 10 rounds, though, with the champ, come on, give him credit.
Exactly.
That's my take.
Well, he has been retired for a couple of years, so he is kind of, soft.
Yeah.
Well, that's 40 years old. Do you hear that, Mayweather? I'm calling you soft. Yeah, I'll take you on. Let's go.
Yeah. His name is Adam. No. No, that's the one thing, too, that everyone, pointed out. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people were pointing out is saying...
No, everybody. I talked to everyone in the world, and every one of them did say that.
No, everyone's hailing how Mayweather dominated yet again. And then they brought the other point of view that said, well, think about it this way. One of the all-time greats just got taken 10 rounds by a complete rookie. So who did
very
better?
First fight. You got to think about it like that.
I don't remember this scene in Rocky.
Yeah. I was really hoping for a Rocky moment and him just to land that one lucky punch at the end and put Mayweather down. But
if he dies, he dies.
Yeah. He's going to be appearing in the next Rocky movie.
There's going to be another Rocky movie, seriously?
Based on the Creed series,
Oh, okay. Where
Rocky's training Apollo's son and Ivan Drago.
Drago, yeah.
He's going to be training his own kid, and Creed and Drago's kids are going to fight, I guess.
That actually sounds, I never did see Creed, but that does sound pretty interesting. I'll probably check that one out.
They always are asking if they can take you higher and stuff like that. Creed.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, guys,
with arms wide open.
Yeah, we better get to getting here. Now, we had a riddle last week. Actually, we had two of them. Mine that I pulled off our website was super easy. You guys guessed it right away. And then we all kind of forgot that Adam had added a second one at the end. And that
I even forgot that I added it because my brother-in-law texted me and he's like, is this the answer? I'm like, to what? He goes, the riddle. Did I do a riddle? I'm not kidding. My text message looks just ridiculous. That's so awesome. The riddle was, until I am measured, I am not known. Yet how you miss me when I have flown. And my brother-in-law guessed correctly.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any other... Do we have a sound clip? Do we have somebody
submit something? We have one of our faithful listeners. We have it right here. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Good evening. This is Captain Poland speaking again. The answer to your silly little riddle is, as we say it in the Polish language and not Count Dracula language, it's czas. Or, as the Americans say it, it's time. Unless you're traveling at 88 miles an hour, then that becomes irrelevant. Now, this is a call out to all your listeners. Come on, guys. Send in your voice answers. It's really, really easy. If Captain Poland can do it, you can do it.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Captain Poland. And he brings up a very good point. It's a lot of fun to actually hear from the listeners, I guess, in these different riddles and, just hearing them in general, talking about any subjects we have or bringing up some subjects. So, yeah, definitely send us some stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
Right.
Right on. All right. So we have a new riddle today, right?
Well, was he correct, Dave or Adam? Well, Adam, you were the one.
I thought I said that's correct, but if I didn't, then I'll say it now. That is correct.
Yeah.
And I actually think he was kind of upset with you there, Adam. He is not Count Dracula.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Why is it? I mean, if it's not Dave ticking people off, it's Adam now. What the heck? Yeah,
why is it always Jason trying to start fights with other shows through you and I, Adam? Like, he never
totally war.
Well, I've got.
Hey, it's our fault that we don't understand what a Polish accent sounds like. Yeah. So, but now we're starting to. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that was all right, awesome. Dave. Well, I've got a new riddle for us this week. We'll read it now and then real quick at the end of the show, let it carry over again. And hopefully, at the urging of Captain Poland, we can get some more people sending in their clips. So, bear with me. This one's a short paragraph, but I think maybe maybe it'll be a little tougher. So
small book?
Nah, not quite. Not quite, but almost.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so an old man wanted to leave all of his money to one of his three sons, but he didn't know which one he should give it to. He gave each of them a few coins and told them to buy something that would be able to fill their living room. The first man bought straw, but there was not enough to fill the room. The second bought some sticks, but they still did not fill the room. The third man bought two things that filled the room, so he obtained his father's fortune. What were the two things that the man bought? So hopefully, it's a little trickier for you.
It is.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you. Yeah.
Where's your guitar?
It's not in this room.
Oh, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a such a good tune. You're going to make me want to listen to it now.
That's right, everybody. Go check it out.
Yep. Well,
that's a good one. I can't say I know this one off the top of my head. So we'll come back to that at the end of the show, or do we want to make this for next? We'll make this for next time. We'll
let's make it for next time. See if we get some of those listeners.
Yeah, we'll make it for next time.
Yep. I'll read it. I'll read it again at the end of the show, just so people have a refresher and a reminder to send in those answers. So, what do you think, guys? Should we do our favorite activity here?
Our favorite activity, that would be...
Let's dive in.
Let's dive into the show. Nice.
Wow.
So this week, the first thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you guys saw this, but we had gotten a couple new iTunes reviews, which is pretty awesome. Just want to give a quick shout out to the first one who... I'm not sure how to pronounce this.
Go ahead, Dave.
Nixus. No, it's spelled NYXASS from here in the US. Back in August, gave us a really nice review for the show on iTunes, so we really appreciate that. And in a second
back in August, which is also right August.
Well,
right
yeah,
now,
I should have said early August. Yeah. Early August. Okay. Yeah.
Way back in August.
I'm feeling so nostalgic.
But for early August. Yeah. Oh, how I miss it.
I wish I would have taken a digital picture to remember it by. Anyways, the second one came from a gentleman or woman, I guess.
Gentleman? I how do you know the gender?
I guess I don't. I just assume gentleman. He stumped me, but this is from iTunes user C.Sweets1818 from the U.S. back in July. Another great
whoever
review
this person is very old.
Well, yeah, maybe. That's why
1818.
Yeah, I mean,
you usually put your year at the end, right? That you were born. Oh, okay.
I'm glad you brought this up. Just another reminder for our listeners. You know what? If you're subscribed to us on iTunes, please leave us a review and a good one. If it sucks, just keep that to yourself.
we'll take those ones too.
Yeah, we'll take them all. We'll take them all. We appreciate it. So
absolutely. Well, so with that, you know, again, just a quick shout out to those two individuals who left us a review. I know it doesn't take long to do, but it is kind of a hassle sometimes to go into iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leave that review. So we really do appreciate that. Now, at the end of last week, on last Friday afternoon, I know you guys don't use Twitter a ton, but I follow the Funko Pop company. I forget what the actual Funko.org, something like that, whatever their main thing is. But I was watching it, and I seen a series of hilarious tweets coming out on their official store company Twitter account, and they were being deleted immediately. Because I tried to retweet it and save it, and they were just gone. And so I jumped over to the Digital Soup Twitter account, and I had that up, and I follow them on Digital Soup as well. And I started just screen capturing these, as did many people. But did you guys see these that were coming up?
I did not.
No.
Okay, negative. So here's the very first one, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning. There's no cursing or anything like that, but... a little bit of sensitive topic. So if you have young kids in the room, anything else, earmuffs, or get them out for about a minute or two. So anyways, the first tweet that comes up from the original Funko at original Funko Twitter account says, "Our next toys will be cock-shaped. Enjoy."
Wow.
Then
okay.
Like chicken?
Then, yeah. Then it says, "Sorry, we were right." It says, "Sorry, we were hacked by cock pirates." I'm not kidding. The third one says, "The cock pirates are the captain of this ship now." And then there's a little chicken emoji and a ship emoji. And at this point, I'm dying, and I'm retweeting them, or not retweeting them, but tweeting to them saying, okay, either Funko has been hacked or they have just an absolutely twisted, hilarious sense of humor. The next one comes up and says, Funko is a proud company who refused to let rooster nappers to take over. And then the next tweet from them says, cock pirates signing off. And then the next one says, before we go, hashtag where to cock at. And so then I also sent them, I had taken a picture myself of someone's big yard decoration they had. It's a big giant metal rooster statue, probably about 7 feet tall. And I sent this as a message back to him just saying, just remember, original Funko cock pirates, size of the rooster does not matter, or maybe some just overcompensate. So it was apparently they got hacked, I'm assuming, because I don't know what else that would be, but really a weird interaction, like they were trying to gain control of their channel again. And I mean, just goes to show kind of the danger and craziness that can happen out on the internet. I mean, if you don't have things secured, you could find yourself in some trouble. As a company, you kind of wonder, you know, true, what kind of ramifications or what kind of feedback are they going to see from something like that? So,
well, things happen. You know,
but I was just so happy to be able to see it.
You know, at least that one was kind of like funny and in jest.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't like, hey, we're laying everybody off, you know, or anything crazy.
Well, and you know, Funko is this company. They're going to pick up on all the pop culture stuff, you know, comic books and movies and TV shows. They've got wrestling. I even saw Metallica Funko Pops recently. So they're in the music space, the wrestling, everything. And I was scratching my head all weekend thinking, was this really a hack, or what toy, what franchise, what could they have coming that would be a rooster or something like that? I mean, there's obviously stuff like Robot Chicken.
But they deleted it all and said we got hacked, right?
Well, they did, but then it was kind of weird. Like, there was never that I saw. Maybe I just missed it because it happened late in the afternoon, and maybe after, over the weekend or something slipped out there, but there was never any formal, like, hey guys, you know, announcement. We're really sorry about that. Something happened. Well, disgruntled employee, whatever.
I just saw one. All it says is sorry guys.
Yeah, that was the only follow-up, was sorry guys. And so I'm not sure, was this a legitimate hack, or are there any big franchises out there that have these really strong fan bases that feature a rooster or a chicken, you know?
Well, there are. I doubt they would say, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, they wouldn't do that. As many kids have collect these, and right, they would never do that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine this was a legit advertising social media.
What time of day was this?
It was probably about, I wonder if it says in here. I'm guessing around late afternoon our time, central time here in the U.S. So probably 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Well, kids were up. I was going to say, if it was like really early in the morning, maybe it could be. But I have one takeaway out of this that is, you know, baffling me right now. I did not realize you could delete tweets. You can delete a tweet once you put it out there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
You haven't seen all those ones I put up of you? I just delete them.
Do you hear that at Real Donald Trump? You can actually delete tweets.
Well, he can't.
I understand. I thought you couldn't. Otherwise, he would delete some of that atrocity.
I think it comes to him, we're not going to go political, but I think the president, his social
media. Well, he isn't either, so we're fine.
Oh, jeez. Well, his tweets and social media become part of the, what's the term for that? Not National Reserve. That's not what I'm thinking.
Archive.
Archives, National Archives. So, but, you know, what I took out of this, though, I mean, as much as it was funny and kind of scary to think that a major company like this could happen, it really made me think that, you know, there's a definite need more and more today for security, even when we're doing our own web browsing. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And I know we've talked about some in the past, but Jason, you've got a little experience. Well, I think, Adam, you do too, with using VPNs, which, you know, myself included, I always kind of thought these were for people pirating software, people doing shady business. But now
it totally is. No, I'm kidding.
Well, now I'm thinking about this more, and I'm not so sure.
Well, they're becoming more and more mainstream. So a VPN, for those that aren't aware, it's a virtual private network. And what this allows you to do is connect to a server somewhere else and establish a secure connection. And then all of your web traffic and all of your network traffic is going over an encrypted tunnel. So in other words, your internet service provider, or if you're on public Wi-Fi or something like that, none of that traffic can be seen or tampered with or
or extracted. So we use this in business all the time, a virtual private network. Typically, it's, you know, you're connecting to your work network and there's a special client on your computer and you are configured with the account so you can log in. But now they're becoming more and more mainstream. And Jason has, you got one first, like for personal use, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I'm using one. The one I'm actually using is called WinScribe. It works very well. You can do one of two things. You can actually download the client to your computer and run it as a full-fledged client. Or you could just download the Chrome plugin or add-on or whatever they call it. And it works right through your browser. It works very, very well. Now, most people think, like you said, there are so many legitimate reasons for using a VPN, not just for people who want to pirate stuff. One of the cool aspects of this is if you're ever traveling abroad and say you want to log into your Netflix account, you're over in what? Let's just name a place, North Korea. Why would you be there? North Korea, and you want to log in and watch the latest.
They're on AOL, though, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. But you would not be able to access Netflix from North Korea. It would, you know, because you're out of the jurisdiction, you're out of the, you know. But if you use a VPN, you could say, "Hey, you know, I'm actually on the West Coast in the U.S., and you'll be able to connect just fine."
Right, and I know one person who actually uses his VPN when he has to travel to China for business, because China has what they call the Great Firewall, and there's a lot of censorship stuff going on there. They don't allow a lot of sites to be used. So, using a VPN from any of those kind of countries, you know, you can basically look, like Jason said, you can appear to be wherever your VPN server is. So. It's a real interesting way to get around it.
So where do you go? Like if you were going to get set up with a VPN, do you guys have like a particular company or place that you recommend, or how would you go about setting one of these up for someone like me? That's a dummy and doesn't know about this. You know, what would I do?
You go to Adam.
Well, I just raised my hand because I used Reddit for a lot of this. There's a person on Reddit called That One Privacy Guy who has done extremely
I know that guy
in-depth reviews. so he's got a website called thatoneprivacysite.net, okay, which details all these really in-depth reviews on VPNs, comparing every single feature, and you can look at them either in, you know, a simple mode to a very complex, you know, advanced, I want to see every single feature. A lot of it is way overkill for, you know, your average browser and user. Mm-hmm. But there are a ton of companies right now that are doing it. You want to make sure you get one that is legitimate, not like something that you get an email ad like, "Hey, you want a VPN?"
Right.
Don't trust any of that. Find a real good one. I'm using one called Jason's using WinScribe. That's on that list as well. And he seems to have pretty good success with that. I'm using one called Private Internet Access.
Okay.
And there's a ton of different ones out there. There's NordVPN, and there's just a whole ton of them out there. If you just put in, you know, VPN, usually you're going to pay anywhere from $40 to $100 a year.
That's not too bad.
For the subscription. And typically they'll have a client that will allow you to connect from your desktop PC. And you can choose, depending on how many servers they have, you can choose your country that you want to appear to be from, that you want a VPN to.
Sure.
Or I've got one that's like, just pick automatically. It'll pick the fastest one to me. Mm-hmm. Some are better for streaming like Netflix and stuff than others. So you will see a speed decrease in general when you're connecting through a VPN. And so there's just a whole lot of different features to explore. And maybe Jason can comment a little bit more on your experience.
Yeah, what I was going to say, I do use WinScribe, and I had tried their free version for a while here, and I liked it a lot. Some of the limitations of the free one is that you can only, there's only five locations that you can actually choose. I believe it was one or two locations in the UK, a couple in the US, and some other country. But those are the only five you could use. So, of course, everybody using the free version of this is going to be just clogging that, you know, connection. It did seem a little bit slower, and they limit the amount of data that you can actually transfer, you know, if you're streaming and stuff. Right. I think it was like 3 gigs a month or something. I mean, not a whole lot. This is basically what your appetite and go in for it.
Right.
Now, I enjoyed it a lot, but I did not bite for a while. And then all of a sudden, I believe it was somebody on actually Reddit too. I think it was on Reddit. I know it was 100% on Reddit. I was in talking about, you know, VPNs and stuff, you know, and reading everything that was going on. And somebody had posted up a code to get a lifetime subscription to WinScribe for $40.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like a 2-day special thing. So I bit, and I have a lifetime subscription for it. Yep. So I use it, you know, every day. I mean, I don't have it running constantly, but you know, I do, if I'm going to do any type of anything on my computer, I do load it up in there. It's just, you know, a lot of people, they're so leery about doing like banking and stuff online and all that kind of stuff. You know, just go behind a VPN and you might feel a little bit more secure.
See, and that's one of the, so banking is one thing I wanted to touch on here. Because there's really kind of two schools of thought on here. And one is that, okay, I'm connected through a VPN, but they are the ones that are, I mean, I'm channeling through somebody's server, and do I want to have my bank information traversing through a VPN, you know, connected to a server outside of the United States or anything like that? So I guess I'd be interested in hearing some other thoughts out there. You know, as far as, would it be a good practice to do your online banking through a VPN? I would say if you're, your connection when you're doing web banking specifically is always going to be encrypted, and there could be some real advantage if you're like in a coffee shop and you connect VPN, you know, to do your banking. But from home, is there really an advantage of it? Is one of my questions. So another thought on that. So the private internet access one that I've got also has the application for the phone, and you can do up to 5 devices simultaneous. Hmm. And so there's a little app on my phone that I can turn on. So if I'm on the Wi-Fi on my phone and decide to go VPN, I could just hit a little slider and I'm good to go. So that's another thing to keep in mind, that look for something that can also provide encryption for some of your other devices, not just your computer, if you really want to get that protection.
Cool.
Additionally to that, you know, take a look at what kind of information the VPN is storing, what they're saving, you know, the logs. Are they logging all of your traffic and saying that they'd give it up? You know, a lot of this has to do with privacy, and, you know, ISPs selling your information and things like that. But I think, I mean, we should probably route this conversation back to that topic. It's not pirates and, you know, downloading illegal software or anything like that that's really driving the need for a VPN. To me, this is more and more privacy, because we've got laws changing and things like that. What have you guys read about this topic?
I trust you guys. That's why I'm asking you, because I don't know too much about
it. Just me. I've got
trust
it.
Trust me. Maybe, though, if we can, those couple of services that each of you are using, maybe we can stick a link to those in the show notes for people. This is a good place for people to get started with some stuff that we actually have experience with. Well, and by we, I mean the two of you, because I've never even attempted anything. Haven't even really looked into it too much, but be something good to add. Just a couple links there in the show notes. So people can check that out right from the website or their podcast player, whatever they want, and see where those are at and read about them and find a plan that maybe works for them. So,
yeah, just an interesting story quick on what made me decide. I've known what a VPN is for a long time. I've used them for a long time for business stuff, but, I was on Amazon doing a search for a product, and 5 minutes later, I'm checking Facebook on my phone and what I had searched for on Amazon. And I was not logged in to my Google account or Amazon account.
Good point.
Yeah. I use my wife's Amazon account. Yet somehow, maybe it was because of the IP address or who knows what, Facebook could figure out what it was. They were displaying the ad right there.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, well, that's interesting, because, you know, I don't know how they're doing their data mining or anything like that, but it's just kind of discomforting to see that they take that information. You know, so anyway,
I see that every day, Adam. The exact same thing. I mean, I do most of my shopping online at Amazon, and however they have it set up, you know, I'm on a completely different site, and all of a sudden the side ad has some stuff I recently looked at online. I didn't purchase, but I had actually just looked at, and hey, there's the item right there.
I mean, it's real convenient.
Yeah,
but it's also it's scary. Like, what the heck? So, you know, protecting yourself from, it's not just for for, you know, it's not just for doing nefarious activity. It is actually legitimate for your privacy, and that's why it's important.
So, I mean, if we could only figure out a way so all of these ads pop up on everybody's screen just saying, come listen to Digital Soup Podcast.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk to Amazon, figure out how they do that.
Well, maybe we should put them on the touchpad.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say, because the touchpad, Jason, you had some issues with that. And when you talked about banner ads, it kind of made me think that was one of the things you were real frustrated with, wasn't it?
Exactly. And I do want to apologize to both of my co-hosts here, because I did type touchpad, but it's actually touchpal. I do apologize. I made you guys look like idiots there for a second.
That's because you're touching your pal.
Hands on the keyboard.
Touchpal is evil. I'm just going to say that right now. Touchpal is completely evil. For anybody that has an Android phone, not all Android phones, I guess LGs have TouchPal, and so does my ZTEs. And what it is, it's a keyboard. And it's a keyboard that has like emoji add-ons and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, I woke up one morning a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden I noticed my your lock screen. It had some ads on it. Mine, not your guys, it's mine. It had some ads on it. I'm like, what the heck is this? So then I swipe it off. I had to swipe that one off to actually get to the lock screen. And then I was able to get out of that. And then floating over on either the left or the right-hand side was a little circle with like a butterfly in it. And I'm like, what the heck is this?
A picture of my back tattoo. How'd that get on?
Exactly, you tramp stamper. So I go to swipe that off. You know how you like swipe off, what do you call it, like Messenger and stuff? Sure. The circle down to the X and swipe it off. I thought I could just do that to that. Yeah, exactly. But when I swiped this swiper, it installed some apps, just instantly installed some junk on my phone. Right. And now all of a sudden I'm having ads popping up constantly, like big banner ads are popping up at the top. I'm like, what the heck? So I go in there and I go into my options here because, you know, I know Android pretty well. I go in there and I disable TouchPal. You know, I completely disable it. It won't let you uninstall it because it's built into ZTE. It would let me uninstall the update, which I did. I forgot to tell you, my phone, I had it set to auto update. Don't do this. Do not let things auto update. So I let it auto update, and it added this new version, which added all this other junk onto it. So I go and I uninstall it, but the stuff is still there. The update, the stuff is still popping up, the ads everywhere. So I disable it. I don't let it do any type of notifications, you know, completely disable all notifications. It's still popping up there. I reboot the Android phone, and it's still there. So then I go, and you know how you, on Android, I can't remember if you could do this on iOS or not, but you can disallow things from drawn on top of other apps. So I disable that TouchPal so I cannot draw over anything else. So I shouldn't see any pop-ups at all. Still nothing. So I'm like, wow, man. So I didn't know what was causing this at this time. I should jump back a little bit. I had all these issues here, and I'm like, you know, just like on a Windows machine, I'm going to go ahead and wipe it and start over. So I completely wiped it. Exactly. Wax on, wax off.
What now?
Mm-hmm. And so I go ahead and do it, and then, you know, I install my, you know, my favorite apps again, but I still had auto update on, and it auto update TouchPal, which I didn't know that was the issue at first. I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but so everything updates, and all of a sudden I got ads again. I'm like, what the heck? I just clean wiped this, installed nothing but the stuff I want. So then by doing research, I found out it was TouchPal. It was a recent update that was doing this to everybody. And if you click on my link that I have in the show notes, or is that not a link? I can't even remember. Okay. But I had, there was forums where people were talking about this. And finally what I did was I wiped it. I during the installation, you know, the setup, I should say, I made sure that I do not auto update. I disabled that. I have nothing now. No ads. So I'm not, and that's always sitting there saying, hey, you have one update that you can do. And I'm looking at TouchPal in my list of Android apps, and I'm like flipping at the Steve Austins there. And
it's annoying.
It's really annoying. It's very annoying. And they're calling for them to do an update on this because you can't, you know, these are big companies that have this installed automatically on theirs. Like I said, it's LGs, some LGs and some ZTEs, and probably some other ones.
Is there anything you can pay to get rid of those? Not that you want to, but do they?
You know what? They probably do have some stuff in the App Store, but I'm not going to pay for anything. I'll just, you know, I licked it this way. You know, I beat it down.
Okay. Okay.
Gave it a lick.
We're not that kind of a show. Yeah. First, you're talking about wax on, wax off. You licked it, you beat it down. What? I'm not sure. I got a little distracted here. Did you get this software app fixed, or I couldn't focus after all of that?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, I no
longer. That's good.
I no longer have an issue by doing that, by disabling auto update, and I just manually update you know, all my apps that I want. I no longer have a problem here, but I'll tell you. The next phone I buy, I'm going to take a look at it. And if TouchPal is anywhere on this by default, because you can't get rid of some of these apps. Maybe there's some software I can, but these ones that are built into it, you can just disable it so it doesn't get any new updates. But so, you can't just eradicate it.
So completely. You don't want to hear about the new TouchPal Essential iOS Mark 7 phone? Okay, so I'm making that up.
TouchPal Essential.
That sounds though like a real, real pain in the butt. I mean, that's not good. You know what's not a pain in the butt?
Apple phones, because you don't have to worry about that kind of
junk.
Well,
that's true. That's true.
Origin stories.
Origin stories. But what else is not a pain in the butt is the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. As our listeners know, we are very proud members of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. And before we dove into our main topic today with our a top five list we're gonna do. I got distracted by the dive team. So God, you guys had poor form on that dive. Do it again.
Bench them, Dave. Bench them.
Anyways, I wanted to take just a minute to give a shout out to one of the shows on our network. That is the Starling Tribune. Now, for those of you that haven't heard it yet, Starling Tribune is a show that is featured all about, typically, the show Arrow on the CW. Now, the Starling Tribune reporters, Stargate Pioneer, Chris and Michelle, discuss, right now anyways, the second season of Legends of Tomorrow, episode Land of the Lost. They rate They rate Captain Lance's performance this week, talk about time travel and the fights in the episode, and chuckle about Ray's urine barrier. Now, they may have a new episode up. This is just the most recent promo material I've received from them. The show in general, though, is dedicated to CW's Arrow TV show. Each week, they get together. Like I said, it's reporter Stargate Pioneer, Chris Farrell, Neil Isn't Witty, and Michelle Ealy. They geek out about the Arrow and the CW DC TV comic book universe. So it's kind of one of those places where you can really get into detail and hear their take about all the CW DC TV comic book universe shows. Arrow, Flash, which has its own show on the network, Legends of Tomorrow, and of course Supergirl's out there. So go check them out over at GunnaGeek.com. Now, guys, whoa.
I think we're going to church.
I accidentally gave him a jingle. I was testing my keyboard out.
Yep.
Yeah, so, like I said, go check out Gunna Geek.
Yep. Yeah, check out.
Nice. Hey, Dave, before you go any farther, Adam, can you do something for me, please?
Sure.
Can you please adjust your red foam microphone cover? That is just bugging the heck out of me right now.
It looks I couldn't see that end of the angle.
Was it bothering you, Dave, or not?
No, I didn't. I just took it as an Elvis lip.
How are you doing there? Thank you very much.
Much better.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Well, this week, guys, I know we had a lot of news there earlier and some personal stories and tech stuff we talked about, but we had an interesting topic pop up on our Facebook page, actually, on our community, which I guess to address that, what we're thinking about doing, we're still not sure. The poll was up, and right now the votes were saying, yes, go ahead and lock it down. And what we're thinking about doing is turning that Facebook community digital soup page into a members-only area for our listeners, where we can post up some special content for them, as well as all the general stuff that everyone, you know, is in there talking about right now. But the news came out about the new Joker origin story movie. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about this, But apparently DC announced that there's a new Joker movie coming in that's going to be Joker's origin. First off, Adam's response was great. Not a story I'm interested in, so I don't care.
Don't care. Yeah.
Now, what are you talking about? If it has Jared Leto, I'm all in, man.
Yeah. Well, that's funny you say that, because this movie will not star Jared Leto.
And
at the same time, there's a new Batman movie with Ben Affleck in it that is also said to be originally a standalone, not part of the DC Extended Universe, according to their film director, Matt Reeves. Now, he's since gone on to clarify.
Crack?
What's that?
So they're on crack. I know. Why would you do that?
They're all over. I mean, hey, who wants to see the origin story of the Joker? That's part of his allure, is that we've heard 25 different versions of where he came from, and everyone is different. That's what keeps him such a mystery. But apparently, Matt Reeves, who's directing the next Batman movie, his clarification is that it actually is part of the story continuity of like Justice League and all of these movies coming out, but it's going to focus strictly on Batman. It's not going to feature any of the other characters or, you know, push a storyline for Justice League. So all of that there. In the meantime, Joker origin story has been put out there. It's a new movie coming. Jared Leto has reportedly been signed to play the Joker in two more Suicide Squad films, which are also part of the DC universe. So they're going to have three different movies featuring the Joker, and only two of them combined. It makes no sense. It's literally, like Adam said, they've lost their minds. But what we decided to do here, Adam had a great idea, is that we don't care about this Joker origin story. It's a story no one really cares about, but what are the top five origin stories from movie characters that we actually want to see that we maybe haven't seen made yet?
Right on.
Yep.
So, and I came up with four.
Well,
well, one of them was a runner-up.
Yeah, I started thinking about it, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So,
you got more than enough.
Yeah.
So, I've got a couple that I actually have a slight amount of plot that I made up in my own mind.
Let's do it. I didn't do that. I didn't go that far.
I didn't really either. So who wants to go first as we go into this top five list?
Well, I don't care who goes first, but I just want to, you know, preface this with saying that my five is the best five, just so you know.
Okay.
It's going to blow your guys' away.
Just one rule. Let's try to keep her going in
TikTok
some
fashion.
We don't want to linger too long on any given one, but knowing that you've got eight, that more than makes up.
Yeah, I won't read all eight.
Why don't you just start at five, Dave? Just start with your top five, and then Adam's got to skip one, and he has to start with four. Then
yeah, I'll combine a couple because they're similar universes. So Adam, why don't you hit us up first?
All right. So my number first off, let me give you my runner up that was almost on there. It was the movie Taken. And Brian Mills from Taken, because you know he's got a particular set of skills, this and that. And the reason I took it out of my list is because the mystery of his origin was kind of part of the what made this movie awesome.
Right.
It's like, man, what the heck did that guy do? He's so good. Yeah. Well, so that was kind of my runner-up.
Well, dang, Wick's you can partner. Say that about a lot of the ones I pick, though, too. You know, the mystery added to it. But that's why I want to see it.
Right.
Sure. So I get my official number four, I guess. Doc Brown, Back to the Future.
Nice.
So this is one that I kind of wrote a little bit of a plot. So I was thinking like a young Doc Brown who is really excellent at science as a kid. You know, it starts off there. He's really socially awkward, but he's super brilliant. And he discovers time travel or the concept at a really young age. So in 1950, he travels through time far into the future, like the year 3000 or something. And he encounters super incredibly advanced technology, but then he discovers he's not the only time traveler.
Mm.
And so another scientist has already been traveling throughout history and has been putting key events into motion. So Doc Brown understands the whole space-time continuum and paradoxes and decides to go try to track him down and convince him not to stop doing what he's doing. And so, it could turn into a movie where he's chasing him through time, different areas. When he finally catches up, you know, maybe he uses a superb scientific reasoning to show that he's wrong, and they both agree to stop using time travel and to wipe their memories using some advanced technology. But 5 years later,
Marty.
Doc Brown accidentally falls. He falls down and smacks his head on his toilet, and he gets his memory back as to how he originally did it. So all this stuff would happen before Back to the Future.
Nice.
So it's kind of an advanced plot.
Is this kind of like a crossover between Back to the Future and Quantum Leap then? That's the other time traveler.
What if it was Scott Bakula and Ziggy?
But he could only travel within the years of his life, though. He couldn't go to the year 3000.
Yeah. In the year 3000. All right, Jason.
All right. So my number five here is Seraph from the Matrix movies. That guy was kick butt, man. He was the only guy that could almost take Neo on. I'm trying to remember. I mean, he was killing. What was the duplicate's names? The guy that was always chasing him.
Oh, the
Mr. Anderson,
brothers?
He'd say. Yeah,
Smith. It was.
They only wrote the second two. They stole the first one.
That was.
It was Agent Smith.
Did you say Agent Smith?
Smith. There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Anderson. That's my number five because it was very John Wickish, which is also kind of funny because, you know, he's in there too.
Right.
John Wickish. Well, how about that?
Because Wickish.
Nice. I'm going to give it as an honorable mention / runner up, filling in for Adam's number five he didn't have. And I'm going to say John Wick because these movies start after he's been out of the game.
That's a good choice.
How cool would it be to see John Wick in his prime as he's entering into this world, making a name for himself? You've got probably a good trilogy worth that'll probably, you know, flow similar to if you were to combine maybe the Bourne series and John Wick, where, you know, this big action where he's getting more and more into it until suddenly he's retiring. I thought that'd be a fun action series.
They could call it the Baba Yaga, and it's just him. And the weird thing is, it's Keanu Reeves, so he looks exactly. He could play it right now.
Right, and you couldn't.
Because he hasn't aged since Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure. They won't need any of that fancy CGI de-aging technology. Nice. So that was my honorable mention, number five for Adam and whatever. So, do you want me to give you another one real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so my other one, we talked about it earlier, Apollo Creed. I thought it'd be cool to see the actual Apollo Creed. We see him in Rocky when he fights Rocky, but he was a champion by that point. If you're into the boxing movies, it'd be cool to see an early career Apollo Creed movie, I thought. So
nice. How he got to where he was.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, Adam, you're up.
All right. Well, along the lines of what we talked about earlier, Morpheus, the Matrix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's a pretty awesome character, pretty interesting. He's got a lot of... you know, the whole prophecy thing, and he's been really doing a lot of fighting to get people, you know, out. So I just thought it would be kind of cool.
It makes me wonder with him, like with all of them, really, but how did he find himself in that position? And maybe it's just been too long since I've seen the movies, and maybe they say in there, but, you know, how would it, with his origin story, how did he find himself as getting out of the Matrix the first time?
Yeah, how do you
time?
Wake? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Seraph got him out, and it's the same movie.
Never know.
Well, Seraph wasn't in the first one, if I remember right. He was just in...
So the first one was Sans Seraph?
The second and the third one.
But wasn't Seraph wasn't he a program, though? He was a computer program.
Yeah, but I don't... He didn't have...
Yeah, Sans Seraph. I'm sorry, I'm just so far behind.
I want to do a font joke. Oh, I got to think of something. Fonts.
Take the geeky font humor for...
The first one was... The first Matrix was Sans Seraph. That's great.
Yep. Every now and then I have one of those I can sneak in for you guys.
You know, hey, everybody, if you're listening, tweet that hashtag Sans Seraph.
Yeah, let's start trending Sans Seraph.
S-E-R-A-P-H, Sans Seraph. All right.
All right, well, my number four, and don't laugh, but, you know, I thought this character was very interesting, and you just don't know much about him at all. But I
don't know much,
but I know why I like to go bowling, because her name is the Jesus from the Big Lebowski.
The what?
The Jesus from the Big Lebowski.
Needs an origin story.
I'm the Jesus.
Yeah, I forgot. That's one that I've got to really watch again.
Yeah, that character was pretty dang funny. I love the way he cleaned his balls, too.
Bowling balls?
Yes. Do you remember that scene? He has it like between his legs and with the cloth. He's like, you guys got to watch the Big Lebowski again. That is a classic. It's a great movie.
All right, Dave, you're up.
All right, so I'm gonna go with a little more obvious, and I'm gonna say Nick Fury. I want to see how Nick Fury becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the day.
Yeah. Well, he changed his name, didn't he? Because it used to be Nick angry.
Nick sort of upset. Yeah. We better not say anymore. We don't want to spoil then. Yeah. No, I thought that'd be a pretty cool
choice.
In the comic book realm, and they're doing so much anyways. They've already killed him off.
He stopped a bunch of snakes on a plane.
Well,
right?
Maybe. And he needed a bodyguard, I know, in a movie I just saw recently. You know, that new one that came out with...
Didn't Deadpool protect him?
Yeah, it was this movie with Deadpool, Nick Fury, Elektra was actually in there, even Commissioner Jim Gordon from Batman. Oh, wow. This movie was the ultimate crossover, The Hitman's Bodyguard. Shameless plug, I do have a video coming very shortly on my first take on that, so I'll have that up hopefully soon in the next week or so.
Nice.
But
nice.
Nick Fury, I thought he's an interesting character. I know he's had a pretty storied past in the comics, and it'd be cool to see what they do with that character in the realm of the Marvel Universe. Now, the only downside is that they've already put so much emphasis on S.H.I.E.L.D. with the television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I'm not sure that we'd ever actually see it, but I'd like to see it.
Sure.
Even if it was like a flashback run of a few episodes on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
Yeah. And that story right there, that response of yours has made me so hungry right now. I could really go for a McFlurry.
McFlurry. Do they still make McFlurries?
Yeah. That's what I kept thinking of every time you said Nick Fury. I'm like, McFlurry?
McFlurry.
Oh. From Golden Arches of S.H.I.E.L.D. McFlurry. Yeah, the name's McFlurry. That's, I'm never going to not hear that now. Yeah.
McFlurry.
One-eyed. Oh, that's too good. All right, Adam.
All right, Adam, you're up, man.
All right, this one's going back into the 70s, though.
Whoa.
The movie Enter the Dragon, starring Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee's character, whose name is just simply Lee. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
I've not seen it, actually.
This is a martial arts classic.
Oh, there's martial arts in it?
One of the movies that
I thought it was a cooking show. Sorry.
Gets people started in martial arts from back in the day. And the movie opens with Bruce Lee fighting Sammo Hung, who is a...
Didn't you, Sam Hung?
He's...
that's what I...
Actually, yeah, the same guy. But he's one of those guys from Jackie Chan's kind of troupe. And Bruce Lee already starts out as an awesome martial artist. And you know they kind of send him in as a spy on this island and stuff. It's kind of a James Bondish style movie with Bruce Lee, but you never get to see how he got that good. So that was my
Bruce
number,
Lee.
What was his number?
That's pick. Bruce Lee is your number three pick.
It was just Lee. It was Bruce Lee's character from Enter
you
the Dragon.
You must not have seen the new trailer coming out for the new movie that's going to hit, I believe, here in 2017. That's called Bruce Lee: Birth of the Dragon.
Oh, I did see the preview for that, but this is the movie character.
Oh,
Lee,
Lee. I see. I'm with you. Okay, I was confused for a second.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say I think you should see the origin of Sam Hung. I mean,
yeah. For sure.
Actually, if you listen,
so we're reaching way back here for the listeners. I don't remember which episode.
Yeah,
this was.
Neither do I.
I tried to say Samsung, and it came out.
It
Sam
had to be
Hung.
Like episode three or something.
Yeah, it was one of the early episodes. Right. All right, Jason, what do you got?
Is it me or is it
no,
Dave?
This is you.
It's me.
And this is what number three.
This is number three for me. Yes, and I, one of the greatest movies of all time, and Adam will, confirm this. He will not deny this. He will confirm.
Yeah, but
this.
Who do you want to see an origin story from Fast Times at Ridgemont High from?
Well, the whole bathroom scene. Never mind. No, the Fratellis from the Goonies.
From the Goonies.
I want to see this family. You know how they got into prison, what they were up to, what the heck they did to make Sloth. I want to find out.
Well, he had that.
Well, the Fratelli dad.
He had that movie. Toxic
I know they
Avenger.
Dropped him on his head a bunch, but yeah.
Wasn't that his origin? Was the Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, he did look a little bit like that. Yeah.
That'd be a cool one, though.
Nice. But that's my number three.
Well, I'm gonna take you way back since both of your number threes were older flicks. I'm going to go way back to an early series that has now recently been a movie as well. And I'm going to say, I want to see the origin story of Gargamel from the Smurfs. And first off...
And when he got the little kit Nazriel,
well,
right?
Well, right. And I'm looking at now, he was what? Like a warlock, they're saying, right? If I remember right. It's been a long time since I've seen the Smurfs. But I'd love to see how this dude becomes a warlock and all of that, and why he hates these little blue people so much. And also, I'd love to see the scene where he walks in the forest or wherever he's at, and he sees these little Smurfs, these blue people, for the first time, and what his reaction is to this. Because, I mean, can you imagine just hiking through the woods with my warlock pack and my little kitty that doesn't age, and all of a sudden I'm being swarmed by little blue people like ants?
Yeah. Aliens. I mean, but does he really hate them? Or
I don't know.
It's been a long time since I watched a Smurf, but
tries to kill
doesn't
them.
He want to eat them? Yeah. Doesn't he want to cook them?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe, he created them. Maybe he created them.
Oh, did he create
I don't remember.
I thought he was wanting to make dishes out of them. For some reason, I'm remembering yeah, he maybe. Wants to eat them.
Whatever reason, he's got and he's the villain. You know, he's trying to get rid of them.
That's bugging me, Adam. Come on.
So I don't know, you know, with Gargamel, I don't know enough about his story, and it's been a long time since I've seen the original cartoons, but I know they made the recent movies, and that's how I squeaked it in is because I want to see Gargamel's origin.
So since you brought that one up, I'm gonna bring one back that I scratched off my list. And so I will officially have a number two.
Let's do it.
You can use that song. You can use that sound clip later, Jason.
Who does Gil, number two work for?
Gil from Finding Nemo. So he's got Scar. He's missing part of his fin. He's like, never stopped me before.
Yeah.
How did Gil? He used to be from the ocean. Now he's in the tank. He's tried escaping a bunch of times. What happened? We need to see a Gil.
That'd be a great short YouTube type Vimeo 20-minute special. Like,
yeah, I was thinking Vimeo,
something like that, where you could just go in, watch this. I wouldn't say fan created, because obviously they'll get sued for stealing the character, but
I'll draw it up.
yeah, that's a
cardboard. It'll look like South Park's original
pick. Yeah,
I'm Gil. All right, Jason. Oh, yep. No, wait, was that? Yeah, that's my number two. Jason, you're number two.
Okay, my number two is the Continental's hotel manager, Charon. He seemed like a pretty cool dude, and so, I would love
from the movie John Wick.
Oh, I guess I should say that. Yeah, you know, because not everybody knows what the Continental is, but those of us in the Assassin's Creed, we know.
Yeah, what if he's like some uber assassin? He's just like the ultimate, but now he's really into customer service.
He always killed with a smile.
Well, the customer is always right as long as you don't kill in the Continental.
He never had to have the cleaning crew come because he cleaned up after himself. Little white gloves. No, that'd be a cool pick.
Yeah, I think he was kind of a cool character, you know, and you don't know nothing else about him except the guy standing behind the desk. Yeah.
I dig it.
He's very chill. All right, Dave.
Number two is I'm going to stick with the Marvel theory or Marvel universe, and I want to see a Black Widow origin story and standalone film. The kind of the same territory as a John Wick, almost, in the assassin, a Russian spy assassin. There are some rumors that she may have some small amount of superpowers. Nothing on the level of, you know, Captain America, anything like that. But that's been some of the rumors out there. But I think there's such a big history there that they haven't really they haven't really given us too much on. I know in the last one they showed a little bit of how she was basically tortured and trained and all this stuff, but what did she do? Yeah. Like, what were those early missions? Mm-hmm. What is that book filled on the red side of the ledger that they talk about in the movie? What were some of those adventures, and how did she come to become a hero instead?
And how did she become Scarlett Johansson?
That's through her.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And Lucy, and what other movies? No, I don't know. I thought
it was interesting. I can't even think. Scarlett.
Nice.
No, I can't think of anything else she's been in.
She's been in a ton. She was Lost in Translation with.
Was she in Black Swan?
No, that's.
Was she
Natalie
in Black Swan?
Portman.
No.
She got Lost in Translation with Bill Murray over in Japan. That was a different flick.
She was in a movie. Oh, what was that one with Ewan McGregor? Not Conor McGregor, Ewan McGregor. The Island.
Yeah.
It's a Michael Bay film.
I thought that was a decent movie. I like that one.
I liked it.
She's been in a lot, and I think that character's interesting.
All right. We won the lottery. We're getting off the island.
Yay! Adam.
Or going to the island or something.
It's time for a big number one.
All right. So this is my biggest... The origin story I would like to see the most out of all time at this point in my life, because I've thought about it so often. Mr. Miyagi, Karate Kid.
Hmm. You've thought about it so often, huh? You're sitting there on the toilet just thinking about Mr. Miyagi.
Yep. No.
I just had a visual. I don't want to see.
No. Doing karate in my bathroom.
And a little known fact about Adam, he said he cannot poop if he has clothes on.
Yeah, I also sit on the toilet backwards. No.
Have you ever tried that?
So here's... No, because I have pants on.
No, you don't.
All right. So we all know the story of Karate Kid. So this is the one that I kind of came up with a small plot for. If you guys want to hear it.
We talk about white boy or black boy?
What? Oh, the original Mr. Miyagi?
No, I mean a white boy. Okay, so white boy. Karate Kid, not not white girl and not black boy, but white boy Karate Kid.
Well, it's the white girl still Mr. Miyagi, played by Pat Morita. Yeah. Anyway, a young Miyagi, he's learning karate. If you remember the second Karate Kid, you know there was a whole fight with Sato, and he loses his best friend, he loses his girlfriend, but we also know that he also has the Medal of Honor from World War II from fighting the 442nd. So there's a lot that you can do with this story. So he's got this full heartbreak at the loss of his family. If you remember from Karate Kid 1, he had actually lost his wife and kids. And so after going through all this, he settles in California after trying to make peace for years with his loss. And then in the final scene, he pens a letter to his father stating that he hopes to find peace through the simple things, working and doing bonsai trees and stuff like that. And he finally states that he hopes his loneliness is unbearable, and he regrets never having a son to pass on the family tradition of karate. And that's prior to Daniel's son showing up and throwing his bike in the dumpster.
I hate this bike.
So, that's mine, Mr. Miyagi.
Part war movie, part drama, family.
Part rom-com. Yeah,
could be a little bit of romance, Mr. Miyagi.
there's going to be some funny stuff. No, no one's going to be able to capture Pat Morita very well.
I think Miyagi was a pimp. I mean, he was not a pimp he was pimping out ladies.
Hello, ladies. I'm here to turn you out.
I think he was a player, man. I think he had some game.
I think
he was a pretty smooth operator, you know. I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Jason, what do you have number one?
Jason, you're number one.
All right. Well, we're just going to end it after I say this, because nothing you say after this is even going to make sense once I mention my number one. My number one is from one of the greatest scenes in any comic book movie ever. And I love this specific rendition of this character. And it is Quicksilver from X-Men Days of Future Past. That was one of the most, the whole blowing up at the, the student college.
Xavier School.
For the Gifted.
Midvale School for the Gifted.
There we go. That was awesome.
River Archie.
I absolutely loved that scene. And
that was a good scene.
Watched it several times, and I would like to see that specific rendition of Quicksilver, an entire movie. Showing, how he first, they did show a little bit of how he got his power, when he first started getting his power, and he was playing the arcade games in his mom's basement and all that kind of stuff.
Refresh my memory now, because Quicksilver appeared in both the Avengers and X-Men, because he's one of those characters in the gray area. In Avengers, he is a twin sister or a twin brother to the Scarlet Witch. Did they explain that at all in the X-Men one, or was he just him?
I don't think so. I don't remember them saying anything about anybody else.
So it'd be interesting to see which actual origin story they went with from the comics.
Well, I would want this one.
And
specifically
I have the X-Men one. Myself, I tend to agree that the X-Men version, X-Men movies version of Quicksilver was handled much better than what they did to him in the Avengers. And I mean, it seemed like such a shame that he was there. They built him up and then just boom, you know, wiped him out of the universe like that. So that
who do you think's faster, Quicksilver or Flash?
Didn't I think we asked this before, and I think Dave said that he believed Quicksilver was right because of
I don't remember having that conversation. I remember us joking about Flash and Superman, or
maybe it was some of the guys at work we were talking about.
Yeah,
one day.
I could be wrong. I don't really remember talking about it, but that's tough because I guess you know I don't know who would be faster. I don't know how you'd measure it, you know, based on what we have to go off of. But
well, I would tell you personality wise, Quicksilver from X-Men is better than Flash, personality wise. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I love the Flash of the TV series. I know nothing about the Flash that's going
to
be.
This might
be
the answer for you though. Does Quicksilver have the ability to run fast enough to travel through time?
He might. You never know.
From what you've seen, I don't know. And given that, I'd have to give the edge to the Flash on that respect. But it could just be something they've never approached with Quicksilver either.
Yes, but look at how much fun Quicksilver was having while he was saving everybody from the explosion.
I'm one season behind now on the Flash on the CW. And the one thing I've noticed is that early on, Flash was having a lot of fun, but the Flash character...
He was,
in the comics, he's in the animated stuff as well. He's always been kind of like a, Spider-Man in a sense, where he's wisecracking and joking around, having fun. They've never really quite captured that with the Flash TV show. You know, he's always been a little more serious, a little too serious. And as these seasons have gone on, I'm starting to get a little bored with the Flash TV show, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Well, one of the worst things they did to his character was Flashpoint. That really changed him a lot.
But I'll tell you
Flashpoint,
what, and the storyline they did there is nothing like, well, I shouldn't say nothing like, but it's not really the comic storyline of Flashpoint, which is a amazing storyline. And we've mentioned that before, I think, because they're talking about that as the new Flash movie storyline.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with
it. Yeah, when he goes back there, that's where it messes everything up, and suddenly Bruce Wayne is the one that got killed in the alley. His parents, you know, his dad becomes a lethal murdering Batman, and his mom cracks up and loses it, and she becomes a Joker. It's a really intense, pretty amazing storyline. I don't think they've done it so far from what I've seen. That's the season I'm in on Flash right now, is the Flashpoint season, and they haven't done it justice.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what's
my
your number
one?
Is irrelevant it is. After
no.
mine.
I was originally going to say Obi-Wan, but now they've got that new movie announced and rumored that they are going to do an Obi-Wan standalone movie in the Star Wars universe. But my number one, I'm giving to Yoda. I would love to see an early standalone, not quite origin story, I guess, maybe, but early Yoda, when he gets his Jedi powers and when he's, you know, before the events of all the movies have happened, because he's been around forever. And even in those movies, he was old in the early prequels that no one likes, Phantom Menace and all of that. I think it would be amazing to see a standalone Yoda film, or two or three, trilogy even, whatever they want to do. And if done right.
We should just say that for all these. If done right. Because they all have the opportunity to completely ruin the character.
But we do not want...
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
If they do that trilogy like you're talking about, though, they cannot go either puppet or CGI. You know, we need to see a more realistic... We need to see Dinklage as Yoda.
We'll have to see if he's still busy with Game of Thrones, but... No, he's in some other stuff coming out, too.
He only does 7 episodes a season now. He's fine. He has lots of time.
I don't know. I think it obviously be CGI in a puppet mix, I think, to keep that character authentic. But again, with the caveat that if they do it correctly, it'd be awesome. But think about the... wasn't that the old cartoon they had, didn't they? Yeah. No, I can't. No, I'm thinking of Muppet Babies. Never mind. Muppet. No.
Yeah, we need a Grover origin story.
Star Wars babies.
Yeah, I mean,
little Obi-Wan going around.
It seems though that there's so much, like when he, even the story of when he finds and trains, because wasn't he part of Obi-Wan's training as well? I forget the mythos there, but he's had his hands in and impacted so many of the Jedi of the old time that I think it'd be fascinating to see the adventures, you know, and keep it in a straight up adventure, you know, that Star Wars feel. Don't make it too serious, don't make it too heavy, but also don't make it a Jar Jar Binks filled topic. Yoda's my pick.
Perfect. I like it. Yeah. Not Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, we need a Jar Jar origin story.
No.
Oh, we need a Jar Jar death story.
Well, he is yes. a
Now that would be a good Sith Lord, there. Right?
You
used to think you were going to lose the dark side?
Oh, boy. Well, that's a good list. I mean, Adam, good idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. That's fun.
Tell us what you think. Hit us up in the community.
Yeah,
let us know what origin stories you really want to see.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do some garnish here, Dave. Right? Yeah.
Garnish it up.
Got to make it taste
Wrap
good.
Wrap it up. A little spice. A little something sweet, maybe.
Maybe an oyster cracker.
Well, no, Dave was heading to the suite to go to the garnish, and you're like, hey, let's throw in some oyster crackers.
How about some?
Hey, I like
how about
them.
Some anchovies. Anchovies like on a butter, a buttery, buttery flaky biscuit with some honey butter and anchovies. I mean,
Okay, if you're serious,
there's one way to do it.
You're out of the podcast, serious. Dave. You're completely out of the podcast.
Honey butter, anchovy paste. Oh.
Guys, if you're out there listening, hashtag honey butter anchovies.
Yes, let's get that trending.
Yep. Let's get that a trending topic.
Yeah.
All right, so who wants to take this one? Me? Okay, sounds great.
You go right ahead, buddy.
So our very own Jason from the Digital Soup podcast, last time we were talking about this RetroPie, this Raspberry Pi build, and Jason came out with two videos this week, two nice short videos on the unboxing of his Raspberry Pi RetroPie setup, and then one on the actual build of the RetroPie.
Oh, it took me days to do that build.
Absolutely. It looked like you grew extra facial hair during that time. Considering you're not even on there, you could just see like beard hair.
Oh, nobody wants to
camera.
See this mug. They just want to hear this sexy voice.
That's probably true.
You got to have a little mystery. These are,
you know, this is kind of our first Digital Soup unboxing video and RetroPie build. This was great. I really like these videos, and I would encourage everybody to go check it out. Not only were they informative, but it also, I mean, by the sounds of it, maybe Jason, touch on how this has worked for you since you got it built.
Oh, I love it. It is absolutely amazing. It took the hardest part, and that's what the next video is going to show, is some of the software side. I'm not going to go in depth with everything I had to do in the video, but I had to install Raspbian, which is the Linux variant for the Raspberry Pi boards, and then I had to install RetroPie and Emulation Station, which is the emulators and the front end for the emulators. And what's really cool is then you can just have it boot right into RetroPie every time you boot your system, and it goes right into it. Full menus. It scrapes all the information on any ROM you put in there, you know, the album art, the cover art, little descriptions, the years the game was released and everything. Of course, we got to add that you want to have legally attained ROMs. And I downloaded some great homebrew ROMs, which really recreate that classic feel on like the NES, the Game Boy Advance and stuff. And, I'm going to do a video, show how the system works, show how some of these games work. And it plays awesome. I mean, I really love this system here. And I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody spend $80 on a Super NES, mini console that's coming out with like 21 games, where you could build one of these and have homebrew ROMs for every system imaginable. It's pretty dang sweet. I mean, and you can do so much more with this than just gaming. You know, just boot into Raspbian, and you got a full Linux desktop, which you can use, all the Linux software. You got full browsing capability, everything. So it's a full-fledged quad-core computer, which I'm going to use just basically for gaming. I don't need a computer hooked up to my big TV.
Especially since that Super Nintendo NES Classic, that went on sale and sold out in the middle of the night in like an hour.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. That when I the next morning when I read those stories that it was like 1 a.m. or something, Amazon and Best Buy, put up pre-orders, and it was less than an hour. They said all the pre-orders were sold out. So it's like people are sleeping and they don't even get a chance to pre-order it. I'm like, Nintendo, whatever. I'm not even going
to
play with you.
The only thing people need to do, Digital Soup advocates right now, skip the mini SNES Classic. Skip any of that because they're terrible to find. You're going to get them just on high, super jacked up prices. Go to these links that we're going to have in the show notes for Jason's Raspberry Pi videos. Check these out. It's super easy to put together, looks like. And that little case you got, man, that's pretty awesome. That was what, Collector Craft?
Collector Craft, yeah. Exact replica of the Super NES case. Now, of course, the buttons and stuff don't work on it. It's
way smaller. So not an exact.
Well, it's a miniature exact
it's
replica.
It's awesome.
But yeah, it is very teeny. It's smaller than the controller.
Yep.
But I love it. I mean, it works so well, and I just can't believe how fast it boots and how fast everything runs on it. But it is a quad core. Only 1.3 or 1.6 gigahertz each core. But dang, that's way more
Still,
than
it's plenty.
Yeah, way more than any classic game needs.
And you're using the Raspberry Pi 3, which is even the Raspberry Pi 2 would have been able to accommodate this.
Probably. So
that's a good system.
Skip the Raspberry Pi 2 because, the Raspberry Pi 3 is $35.
And the best part is we'll have links right here. So if you guys want to say your big Steve Austin middle fingers to Nintendo for their limited supply, just check these links we've got here. They'll get you the exact build that Jason's showing in these videos, and you can build your very own Retro Pi box. And this thing, I was yelling at him earlier because he's gonna make me spend more money watching these videos. I was going into it thinking, nah, I don't need to mess with that. I don't do that stuff that much. I don't have a lot of time. And I watch these videos, and all I can think is, now I gotta buy one. It looks so cool.
Well, I really appreciated the tip on the switching power supply, though, because I didn't know that you had to physically unplug and replug it in to reboot to start it up. So great tip on there. I am almost full of Digital Soup. I can't believe I've had this much.
He's got to run to the restroom and take a dump naked.
What a way
not
to
exactly
end the
accurate or true. That's nice.
Do you want me to read the riddle once more?
Jackhole. So. Yeah, let's read the riddle. I will apply soft riddle music while you do that.
Let me know when you're ready there, soft riddle man. There we go. So an old man wanted to leave all of his money to one of his three sons, but he didn't know which one he should give it to. He gave each of them a few coins and told them to buy something that would be able to fill their living room. The first man bought straw, but there was not enough to fill the room. The second bought some sticks, but they still did not fill the room. The third man bought two things that filled that room, so he obtained his father's fortune. What were the two things that that man bought?
Okay, I do have an answer for one thing. He bought a lifetime subscription to the Digital Soup, which we don't have, but just go with me here.
It's free.
And it filled that room with laughter.
Oof, good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. And the second thing, man. Filled it with knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Whoa. It also filled it with I can't tell.
Poop jokes?
Because we are what?
Well, poop.
We're digital poop.
We're digital poop. So, guys, please, as a listener, you know what? We want to hear your voice. Record that onto your phone. Send it over to jason@digitalsuitpodcast.com. Send us your answer. We would love to hear from you. As always, you can find everything about us at digitalsuitpodcast.com. That's our new site. It's been up for a few weeks. We've got rave reviews on that from me.
Me too.
And then according to the guys that put it together, us, it's amazing.
It is.
So check that out. But we do have links for all the different ways you can subscribe. I don't care if you're on an iOS device, if you're on Android, just your computer. You can listen online. You can download it off the internets. You know, there's all kinds of options.
Probably can't get us on Palm OS.
You can hit
play
right there.
Well, I'd question that. Yep, you can hit play. You can actually listen live right on our website, and we always put all of our full show notes in there as well. All that gets added, and all the links to any of our social media. And we would love if you could go like our page on Facebook, say hi, join us on our Facebook group, and add your opinions and comments so you can be part of the Digital Soup conversation. We just love to have you.
Mm-hmm. And can I add one thing here, Adam? Because I always forget about this. All of our listeners that or potential listeners that have one of the Amazon what are they called? Oh my gosh, I own one. The Dot,
Echo,
the Amazon Echoes, the Echoes. All you have to do is go, Alexa, play the Digital Soup podcast, and it'll play the latest episode.
And you just triggered everyone's Alexa to listen to Digital Soup.
I hope so. I muted mine before I said it.
Let me try it. Alexa, subscribe to the Digital Soup podcast. Does that work?
Okay, Google, subscribe to Digital Soup.
Yeah. Hey Siri, play the Digital Soup podcast. We're good. There, I think we got it covered.
Hello, Cortana. Right, nobody says
Digital
Cortana.
Soup podcast. From all of us at the Digital Soup podcast, to all of you listeners out there, we love you guys, and we just hope to have you back next week, and have a good one. Or, you guys just give me awkward silence. See fine. See you guys later.
Later, Gators.
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons.